Everybody hear me? All right. I am so excited to be here with you guys today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Caleb McCall. I'm the executive director and founder of Be the Bush Ministries Recovery Center, where men spend a year of their life being discipled and growing and learning what it means to follow Jesus. Amen. And, we're so excited to be here with you guys. I cannot rave enough about this church and what it is that you guys do for us and what you do for your community with, you know, Brother Ray Markham and One Day of Hope and how y'all pour into that and how you guys pour into our ministry as well. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Without you guys, we're not able to do what it is that we do, and men aren't able to be set free and be born again and just set free by the power of the gospel. So I just want to say thank you, and thank you to the elders and Pastor Dustin for allowing us to do a graduation here. Your church, y'all cook for us every second Sunday, and the guys really look forward to that. And the ladies here at Forest Mill take such good care of us, and we're just very, very thankful and grateful for what it is that you guys do for us. So I just wanted to start with that. But we have a graduation today with Brother Jeremy. Jeremy, come up here, please. Yes, give him a round of applause, please. Jeremy, stand up here with us so they can see you, because you're short and all.
Yeah.
But Jeremy has been with us for 11 months, going on, 11 months now. I'm sure you guys are familiar and have seen his face around here. He's been coming for almost a year now to you guys' services, and he is from Winchester, Tennessee. And he got to us, and man, it's been a long journey, hasn't it, brother?
Yes.
But it's been so worth it to see him come in and be transformed and changed by the power of the gospel and what the Lord has done in his life. It's just been very special to be a part of, and I'm just grateful that I got to be a part of your life, and we'll get to continue to do so because Jeremy, so usually how this goes is we'll talk a little bit about how when he come in and how he got here, and it was funny. I had to convince Jeremy to stay. His first, what was that, their third day?
Third day in,
he was thinking about leaving. And I'll just be quite honest. Usually when a guy says, hey, I want to leave, we allow them to do so. And I don't really, I might have a conversation with them. But if their desire is to leave, it's not my job to try to keep somebody against their will. And plus, we want that bed for a person who does want change and who does really want and need and knows the need to change their life. But there was something different with Jeremy, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say that I needed to speak with him for a little bit. And we stood outside the hospital, actually in my truck outside the hospital, and we got to talking. And eventually, after a couple of moments, he said, "I changed my mind. Just take me back. Take me back to the house." And he had just, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, he had just overdosed, what was it, a week before that?
Two days before he arrived, so
5 days before and prior to that, and Jeremy was brought back to life by Narcan. So in and with our ministry, we're not only seeing spiritually men risen from death to life, but physically, as you're hearing now. I mean, he was literally dead before he got to the program, and now he's walking in newness of life, and praise the Lord. Amen. And so now Jeremy has decided to stay on with us as a staff member and is embarking on a ministry journey. And he is going to be a staff member there with us. It actually kicked in as of July 1st that he is now a staff member with us. Can we praise the Lord for that? I mean, somebody who was dead and now in ministry. It's awesome and it's amazing. And I feel privileged to just get to be a part of his life and getting to see what God has done in your life. And Jeremy, I'm telling you, this is just the beginning. You know, when I went through Teen Challenge, it was just the beginning.
Yeah.
This starts now. And life starts right now and in this moment. And God's going to do some big things with you. I believe that. And I'm excited to partner with you in that. Danny, you mind to come take a picture of us as I give him his graduation certificate? Photographer Danny. Hope you got my good side. Thank you, man. Isn't that awesome? What God can do with a man that'll humble himself and say, Lord, I need you. You know, Lord, I got to have you. And that's what we've seen with Jeremy since he's entered the program. Got to love technology, right? 1 second, I'm going to open this up. Well, I am excited to bring a quick word with you guys' congregation today. I felt strongly that the Lord wanted me to share this word that I'm going to get to speak and preach with you guys today. The title to today's message is called The Matthias Anointing. The Matthias Anointing. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Acts 1, starting in verse 15. Acts 1, starting in verse 15. And then we're going to skip down to verse 21 there. Again, the title to today's message is called The Matthias Anointing. Starting in verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of the names was about 120. And said, Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Skip down to verse 21. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John to the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness of us with his resurrection. And they proposed to Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and the apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. Then he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask for the next couple of moments that you would anoint my lips and you would anoint my heart and you would anoint my mind. Father, I ask that I would not get in the way of what it is that you would want to speak to your people today. I do not take it lightly, Father, that I stand before my brothers and sisters in Christ and I get to share the gospel with them. I get to share what your word says and what it is that you've spoken to me to speak to them. Father, I just ask that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross and they wouldn't see a man here today, but that they would hear your voice and that we would hold on to what it is that you are speaking to us today. We honor you in this place. We honor you in this house. We honor you with our lives. And we thank you for your son, Jesus, and the blood. It's in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen. So go with me, folks, to the upper room for just a moment. Here they're about to replace an apostle. This is a major decision. And the big question they are wrestling with is who is to become the 12th apostle? Who's to become the 12th disciple to replace Judas? You would think their question would be, and what they're looking for is, can he preach? Does he have some kind of great gift? Is he some sort of tremendous healer? Is he a good speaker? Can he cast out devils? Does he know how to counsel people? Does he know about the consummation of the age and the red heifer? That's a joke, by the way. But they don't ask those things. No, they don't ask that. The one thing they are looking for, the one qualification they are looking for is, has he been with us from the beginning? Translation for you this morning is, it must be someone among us who has been faithful this whole time. We are looking for someone that was faithful in the good times. We're looking for someone who was faithful when things got bad. We're looking for someone out of this 120 sitting in this room right now that's here praying with us and seeking the face of God, even though they just crucified our Messiah. We're looking for someone who stayed when Jesus said, partake of my flesh and drink my blood, and people went running from each end. We're looking for someone who was faithful to stay with us when they tried to stone him and Jesus walked through the midst of them. Can I just share this little disclaimer with you this morning? That Jesus is looking for those who are willing to be faithful in every aspect of their walk. Not looking for the glory, the look at me mentality, I'm doing it for Jesus. No, he's looking for some Matthiases this morning who are just willing to be faithful and follow him. Because look, the fact of the matter is that Matthias wasn't mentioned before this or even after this, but he was set to the highest position of ministry in the New Testament church. Isn't that amazing? That God takes this guy who is a disciple and follows Jesus his entire ministry, but has never been mentioned in the scriptures up until this point. But he puts him to the highest position in the New Testament church because of faithfulness. I think that's something we ought to pay attention to. This isn't about your abilities, talent, knowledge, money, or gifts. Nobody knew his name. Nobody knew anything about him. The only thing they did know or mention about him was that he was willing to stick it out, that he was faithful. He had been with them from the beginning, and he was there with them in the end. He was still there praying, seeking the Lord after everyone else had ran. Because we know from the scriptures, Jesus' entire ministry, he had 500 people that followed him everywhere that he went. But in this moment in time, there's only 120 people sitting in the upper room, seeking the face of God, obeying the commandment of Jesus where he says to go, wait, pray, seek, be faithful. Are you faithful this morning? I think it's no accident that the word faith is found here in faithful, right? The word says, without faith, you cannot please God. So is it fair to say that you cannot please God without faithfulness? What is it that God is calling you to be faithful to this morning, Church of Jesus Christ? I can tell you one thing he's calling you to be faithful to, and that is himself. God is looking for faithful men and women, because if he can find a faithful man or a faithful woman, he can anoint them and he can use them. Many people would look at my life and say, before I come to Christ, there's no way that God could ever use him. There's no way that anything good could come from his life. But that all changed when I just surrendered and gave my life to Jesus. Most of y'all in the room will know my testimony, but real briefly, I was very, very lost, and now I'm very, very found. Like, that's the summing up of it. But I used to live a former life, and now God is using those things, and he's used what was horrible and what was broken in my life, and he's mended it and he's put it back together, and now he is using it. What is it that is in your life this morning that God can use? If you'll be faithful, I can promise you he'll show you what that is, and he will use you. It doesn't matter if no one knows his name. It doesn't matter if he's a great speaker. It doesn't matter if he prays the most eloquent prayers. It doesn't matter if he went to seminary. It doesn't matter if he's been ordained or been handed some credentials. The only credentials the Father is looking for is, was he there from the beginning? Was he faithful with what I gave him? Is he still praying and seeking the face of God in the middle of a storm and a trial and tribulation? The fact of the matter is they had just crucified the Christ. For the disciples, this is the most horrifying time in their walk, in the time that they spent with Jesus, but yet they are praying and seeking the face of God, being faithful where he has them. What is God calling you to be faithful to this morning? Gentlemen, is it a program? Church, is it a tough job? Is it a bad marriage? Ministry obligations. Be faithful in it no matter what it is. Let me back up what I'm saying with the words of Jesus. In Luke 16:10, he says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Men of BTB, are you faithful in the little things, gentlemen? Are you faithful enough to make your bed and no one have to tell you? Are you faithful enough not to get in the fridge when nobody tells you? Are you faithful enough not to cuss and talk foolish when a staff member isn't around? Don't act like chameleon, gentlemen. Act like reflections of him. Amen? Are you faithful this morning? For those of us outside of the program, are you faithful to stay in your word? Are you faithful to tithe and give offerings to the kingdom? Are you faithful to stay humble? Are you faithful to your spouse? Are you faithful in sharing your faith? Are you faithful to be honest? Are you faithful to walk in integrity? Are you faithful in good character? Are you faithful at church? Are you faithful at serving? You see, if you can be faithful in the small things, the Lord can trust you with the bigger things. It's sad to say, but in these days and times that we live in, people expect harvest where they have not sown. People expect return where they have no investment. That is not the way of the kingdom, Church of Jesus Christ. He says, you reap what you sow. And if I can trust you with the little things, I can trust you with the bigger things. Are you faithful this morning? We judge people based on how much they do in their works or how big their ministries are. But notice what is said for the criteria of becoming apostle. And do we understand this morning that that is the highest level in the New Testament church, the status of an apostle? These men walked with Jesus. But God said, I don't care if he has talent. I don't care if he's wealthy or has a great education. Does he have faith? Is he faithful? Can I trust him? I want to show you something real quick to look at in verse 21 there. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning in the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So we see here that they're looking for someone who has been a witness of these things. One of the main requirements that he had was that he had to be a witness of the things. He had to see what Jesus did. He needed to have walked where Jesus walked. Why? If you're asking why, well, I believe when you see moves of Christ in your life, it develops faith. And if you develop faith, you can develop faithfulness. And if you develop faithfulness, God will use you. But the one word witness right here, let's look at it. Let's check this out. So Jesus, a couple verses earlier in the chapter, tells them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, in order to become a witness, you need the power. Where does the power come from, Holy Spirit? A book earlier in Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, be faithful and wait on me for just a little bit. I've got something to give you. I've got something that you're going to need. Because in order to be a witness, you need the power of God. Can I just talk about that for a minute? So many people have turned the Holy Spirit into this weird, strange thing, and they've spooked and scared people. But can I just tell you this morning that his main job is to give you power? His main job, his role in the Godhead is to give you power so that you can accomplish the works of the ministry. He is there to help make you bold to preach the gospel even when facing death. Look at the disciples. They all tucked tail and ran when Jesus was crucified. Everybody left him except John. But after Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came, something changed. Something happened. And I'll tell you what happened. They became witnesses. And they only became witnesses when they were endued with power from heaven. When that happened, they were no longer ordinary men, but they were men filled with the Holy Spirit of God and became world changers. Do you understand that we as believers, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we have the ability to become world changers to the world around you, to the world around me, to our community of Coffee County. You have the ability and the power to be a world changer to the world around you if you walk in the power of Holy Spirit and you have communion with him and you fellowship with him and you read the word and you spend time in prayer and you work on your relationship with Jesus Christ. After Acts 2, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaches his first sermon in the first century church, and 3,000 people in one day come to the cross. In Acts 3, him and John heal a man who have been lame for 40 years by saying, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give unto you. Pick up your mat and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's power. In Acts 4, they stand in front of the Sanhedrin. This is the same group of men that just put the Messiah on a cross, and they stand before them boldly as they're breathing threats to them and say, should we listen to man or should we listen to God? That's power. The same people that they ran from a couple of days before, a couple of weeks before, they ran from them. These people just put our Messiah, our King, on a cross, and they stand before him in power and say, should we listen to man or should we listen to God? That's power. Can I share with you this morning that Jesus is looking for men and women of God who will be faithful, who is willing to stick it out in the good times and in the bad, who are willing to be faithful in the little things so he can trust them with the big things. And after this type of relationship is had, he can give you power. Why? Why do we need the power of the Holy Spirit? Because when storm comes, when trials come, when persecutions come, you won't have the very thing that enables you to overcome them, and that's him. That's why we need Holy Spirit in our life. That's why we need the power. Gentlemen, when you leave here, you are going to face persecutions. You are going to face the friends and the family members that you used to run around with. You're going to face those tough situations, and people will make fun of you because you're following Christ now and because you're not walking in compromise anymore, but you're walking in the anointing and you're following after Jesus with everything you got. And some people will never understand that. Some people will never get it. But if you walk in the power, you'll be able to face that persecution and not let it affect you. But you continue to walk with the Lord. Continue to walk with the Lord, gentlemen, because he's worth it. He's so, so good. And he paid the highest price for every single one of you. Jeremy, you're going to face persecution some, but you have the power to overcome anything that faces you and anybody that tries to condemn you. You have the power with the Holy Spirit living inside of you to face anything and to overcome anything by the power of his blood and his spirit. Amen? We need the power. We need the Holy Spirit. Why do you think he mentioned it twice? He mentioned it twice. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until he comes. Tarry for a while. Be faithful for a bit longer. I have something for you. I think Jesus knows what he's doing. And if he wouldn't send them out in John 20 without breathing on them and them receiving Holy Spirit, it's important. But here is the lesson from Matthias. The Matthias anointing says, I'm here when he's in. I'm here when he's out. I keep doing what I can do day in and day out. Sooner or later, there is going to come a shower of refreshing for an attitude like that. If I wait on the Lord, he will renew my strength. Church, we better learn this lesson, especially to those who are thinking of serving in ministry. In the Christian walk, we go through these wildernesses. We go through valleys. But I have found out that if I just stand there and be faithful and be loyal and say, Lord, I don't feel you necessarily, but I'm going to church. Lord, I'm not getting the greatest revelation or understanding what I'm reading in my word, but I'm going to read it anyways. I'm going through it, but sooner or later, a river's going to hit. Sooner or later, a cloud of glory is going to hit and lift my spirit. If you can't sing like an angel like Brother Tommy, this is a word for you. If you can't preach like Peter or Paul, this is a word for you. Find out what God has called you to, no matter how small or insignificant you think it might be. Be faithful in doing it. God will not overlook your faithfulness. Faithfulness over time always sets you up for promotions. There is an anointing with faithfulness, and a position always comes with anointing and faithfulness. Don't ever let the enemy beat you up and make you feel like a failure in the kingdom. Stay faithful. No recognition for your contribution? Stay faithful. We read the stories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they don't say anything about Matthias. But we know he was there. He was there when Jesus did all his supernatural miracles. He was there, but he got no recognition. But he was faithful because he didn't do it for recognition. Stay faithful. Stay hungry. Work as if God sees everything that you do, because he does. He is your witness. He's your lifter. He is the one who brings promotion. Be faithful and do everything that you do with excellence. Leave the rest to the Lord. He sees, he knows, and he has a plan for your life. I leave you with this verse in Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Tom, will you come up, please? As I finish this saying, be faithful. Walk in the Matthias anointing. Walk in faithfulness. God sees you. And he's the one who gives position, anointing, and authority. It's not about your talents. It's not about your abilities. It's about your faithfulness. Can God trust you with your heart's desires this morning? Because if God can trust you with your heart's desires, he'll give them to you as long as they line up with his will. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Jeremy, be faithful, son. If you'll be faithful and you'll walk with the Lord the rest of your life, and if you're faithful in the little things, he'll entrust you with the big things. He's already entrusted you to step into this position with Be the Bush Ministries. He's handed you something. Steward it. Treasure it. And do everything to the best of your ability and with excellence and be faithful. And God will continue to use you. Men of BTB, be faithful. Be faithful in the little things, because God sees those little things and God will use those little things, and they'll begin to add up, and they'll add up, and they'll add up, and God will trust you with the bigger things. I love you guys so much, and I'm so proud of every single one of you. And I am so grateful for this church and what you guys do for us and allowing us to be a part of your services. This is just a special day for me to get to be here with you guys. I travel speaking places, and I don't get to come as often as I would like to get to worship with you guys. Just hearing the voices of the saints this morning, hearing the voices of God's people this morning, joining together and lifting up the name of Jesus is a powerful and a special thing. And I do not take it lightly to get to be here and worship with you guys this morning. I just want to pray over you, and then Brother Tom is going to come sing for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, God, for what it is that you're doing through this church and these people and this congregation. I thank you for what you're doing in the church across the globe. Because the fact of the matter is, Lord, the church isn't a building, but the church is your people. The church is the body of Christ. And just because others do things a little different than us doesn't mean they're wrong. But I'm just so grateful, God, for people that go to this church. People like this that are in this church, Lord. I'm just thankful. I'm in awe of the partnership of getting to be here with them today. Father, I pray a blessing over this church. Lord, I pray that your spirit would be upon them, that you would use them even more than you already have, Lord God. This church is a church that can be trusted with things. And they do it for your glory. And I'm grateful for that. Father, bless these people. Keep us. Help us to hold on to this word today of faithfulness. To walk in that Matthias faithfulness, that Matthias anointing of not looking for recognition, but just doing what it is that you have called us to do, because you see every person in this room. You see everything that they do. And you're thankful for them, Lord. You see them. And I thank you, Jesus, for it. Give us your spirit. Put a mandate on our lives to accomplish and share the gospel. To accomplish and share the gospel, Lord, in power and anointing. We love you so much, Father, and we are grateful and thankful for you in Jesus' name. If anybody would like prayer, I know the prayer, the altars are open. And if anybody wants prayer, please come up and the elders will be here to pray with you. Brother Tom?
Whoa. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.